The Senate will please come back to order. The first line of business, item of business, will be reading of standing committee reports.
February the 6th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill... To whom was referred House Bill 15 in gross, Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Correction. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, Kinski, Von Fladen, Senator Christensen, Chairman.
This is just a testing. I had the feeling that actually yesterday the system might be toning down a little bit. Is everybody hearing fine? All right. Okay, I think that is that done with all the messages. Senator Coe.
May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
I'd like to introduce a school board member from my district up in Cody, Stephanie Bell, who is one of the five members of the All Wyoming School Board they give every year. This is the top award that you can get as a school board member. She's been a school board member for 15 years and does a great job. Please welcome her.
Welcome. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Senator Christensen.
If I heard right, Mr. President, we did just had 15 in, read in?
I think we did just read. Did we just read in and send a file? We did just read in send a file 15.
Mr. President, House Bill 15 has an appropriation with it. I'd ask it to be re-referred. Appropriations.
Would you just give us the courtesy of the bill title?
Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Corrections.
Thank you. Without objection, Senate File 15 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side on Senate File 142, I would ask for immediate reconsideration.
You've heard the motion, and the bill is still in the custody of the Senate. The motion is
Mr.
to
President.
Senator Scott.
Point of order, could you read the title of the bill, or somebody read the title of the bill so we know which
thank
one it
you
is?
Thank you for the reminder. If the movement, or actually I can do it, I've got the bill right here now, so I can reread it. So the motion on the floor is to reconsider Senate File 142, Building Code Regulation, which failed yesterday. An aye vote is to reconsider the vote. A no vote is to not reconsider. Roll call on the motion for reconsideration.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks? Johnson,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Fladen,
aye.
Wasserberger,
no.
President Nicholas,
no.
Cooper, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 24 aye, 6 no.
By your vote, you have voted to reconsider Senate File 142. The next vote Roll call is on the file itself, Senate File 142, State Code Regulation. Roll call on the bill itself.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
No.
Wasserberger? President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 18 aye, 12 no.
By your vote, a majority of the Senate having voted in the affirmative on Senate File 142, Senate File 142 has passed the Senate. Now we're at that order of business of bills on third reading. Senate File 43, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 43, Wyoming Telecommunication Act Revision, sponsored by the Corporation Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in third reading amendment number one.
Senate File 43, third reading amendment number one, page 9, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is purely a technical correction. What the committee sought to do was to define this particular term that the Federal Communications Commission uses to distinguish between the small carriers and the large carrier. If you look in the Standing Committee Amendment, you'll see that we're adopting a federal definition as of a specific date, and it's widely understood in the industry. It makes a lot of sense to do it. And just in the communication, we didn't quite get the definition, the term we're defining right, so it would be a local rural incumbent carrier, and that will be precise as to what we mean, and that is the federal term. And so this is just a technical correction. Mr. President, I think I've moved the amendment, and I will urge its adoption.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the amendment? There being none, the question is on third reading amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one has passed. It's been adopted. We're now back on the bill. There are no further amendments. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Roll call on the bill.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Burns? Aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
Senate File 43, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 43 has passed the Senate. Senate File 118, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 118, Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities, sponsored by Senator Kraft. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. If the reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 118, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 118. Mr. President, this bill does a couple of things. In the first part of it, which the amendment doesn't deal about, it simply is an inflation factor and one of the benefit wages. But what we deal with in this amendment, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, is that the bill as it stands right now pretty much takes away a good deal of the teeth that was in our 95 welfare reform. And as the body could probably remember, in 95 we actually received an award from the NCSL as this work being one of the top 10 pieces of legislation in the country that year. And I think it's something that everybody that worked on it could be proud about. But Mr. President, this bill right now on page 3 essentially guts the bill as far as the sanctions. And if you look at line 8 and 9, it takes away the disqualification of the power program. If you look at 10 through 16, it takes away the disqualification of the SNAP program or food stamps. But you got to realize that the food stamp program, the disqualification there doesn't have anything to do with the benefits that go to children. The department goes in there and basically says that all of those food stamp benefits remain with the family. So it's a fairly light sanction from that standpoint, but nonetheless, you've got to have some teeth in this. And one of the reasons that we wanted teeth in there was to teach these folks that they had some responsibility. Because the discussion back then was that a lot of these people don't even understand that if you have a job, you have to show up. You have some responsibilities. And this is one of the things that the welfare reform was teaching people, is that there's a cause and effect. And if you don't do something, something bad is going to happen to you. It's just a learning tool to teach people that essentially you've got to do something. You have some responsibilities. And if you take that responsibilities, that the government's going to make sure that basically you have an opportunity. But if you don't take the responsibilities, there's consequences for it. So, Mr. Chairman, this adds back into consequences.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I'd like to respond to that. I think there's possibly a little bit of confusion between the POWER program and the SNAP program. The SNAP is food stamps. And what we are asking to do, and I should clarify when I say we, I should clarify that when I say we, I'm talking about the Department of Family Services. I'm talking about the department who came to us with these suggestions about how they felt they could better implement their program. And the reason they told us they wanted us to leave the power sanction in place, but remove the SNAP sanction or the food stamp sanction, their justification said, we want to penalize the family in only the program in which they did not comply, keeping the SNAP benefit the same during the time they do not receive a power payment provides more financial stability so they can get back into the power program successfully, continue on their plan towards self-sufficiency, and ultimately decrease dependency on government programs. That's from our department. Now, I should tell you, the teeth are still in this bill because we still have the power sanction, and power payments can run for depending on the number of eligible persons, they can run from $362 to $712 a month. SNAP or food stamp for an individual is $175 a month. So we have the teeth in this particular piece of legislation. Another thing that I really need to bring to your attention is that under CFR, which is the Code of Federal Regulations that have written the rules, have the rulemaking for the SNAP or the food stamp program, this is what they say. The state agency has the authority to decide whether to sanction or not sanction if it is not explicitly forbidden in our state statute. So the department could still, if they thought, wow, this person really does need something besides just the power sanction removed, they can remove that SNAP benefit also. They have the authority to do that if they so choose, unless we specifically forbid it. So by taking away that caveat that we currently have in statute that says you will remove both power and SNAP, that gives them the ability to say we will either remove both or just one. But their thought is the power program, they want people in. Because that's our program that gives people the skills to work towards self-sufficiency. And big teeth, as I just told you, it can go up to $712 a month. Those are pretty sharp teeth to me. If we remove those, which we do in this bill, and still allow them to receive their food stamps, it is the department's belief they will be better able to provide services for the people they serve. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment. Mr. President, first let me make it very clear that with the bill, the sanction of losing the power benefit, which is the basic cash welfare benefit, still remains, and the department was quite clear in testimony in committee that they were going to exercise that sanction. It is true the bill stricken to include disqualification. Language is removed, basically as superfluous, but the department clearly intends to use and maintain that sanction. So that doesn't change anything. We're talking just about here the sanction of losing the food stamps, the SNAP program under the new jargon. And several of us in committee, Mr. President, were thinking of doing this same thing, and we were talked out of it. Three reasons, really. One, the loss, typically you're dealing with a family of three, the power sanction is $600 a month. That's big. The food stamp sanction was $175. Second, they were saying that a number of people who were food stamp recipients who could benefit by going through the power program were not doing it because they're afraid of losing their food stamps. And that's probably a real fear. We'll probably get some more people in. And the third reason, this department has been very good when they get somebody on the traditional welfare program and they only have 175 adults on that program right now, down from 5,000 and some when we did the welfare reform that the sponsor of the amendment alluded to. Very successful legislation. But, Mr. President, what's made that legislation successful is, or at least as successful as it has been, is that the bureaucracy, they've had good leadership, but the bureaucracy itself in the Department of Family Services has done a marvelous job of somebody gets on that program, they get them the short-term skills, the short-term training, the short-term education, how you behave on the job, so that they can go to work and get off the program. That's why it stayed so low. Mr. President, when you look at the statistics, our family services bureaucracy does the best job of any state in these United States in administering this program and using it as a way to get somebody with a crisis in their life back into the workforce. And so when they say to me, if we can modify this sanction a bit, leave the big bite in place, the $600 sanction in place, and get rid of the smaller, the $175 sanction, we can help more people. I believe that bureaucracy because that has been their track record. So for those reasons, I would urge us to defeat this amendment and to support the bill.
Chairman, just a question about this. Taking a second time or a first time can explain this to me. Given that, certainly, Mr. President, as we look at that, I think that we have a great, I think that the particular department that administers this program is a great department. They are as lean and mean as any of the departments, as any of the departments we have. We have several that are that way, and this is one of them. But I do have a question about this. The question is this, is that in the, particularly in lines 8 and 9 in the bill, when we have the language that allows the sanction under the power program and includes the words include disqualification, my question is this, Mr. President, is, you know, I could certainly see one of my fellow brethren at the bar at some point arguing in the future that the legislature removed the ability to disqualify, and that when the legislature did that, that obviously there was an intent that no longer disqualification would no longer be available. And I'm concerned about if this amendment were to be defeated, that language would remain in, and so that concerns me. And I want someone to explain to me why that wouldn't be the case if they can.
Mr. President, for my second term time, that's a key point. It was quite clear from the testimony in committee that the Family Services Department that administers that intends to maintain the sanction that the power payments will be removed. And when you look at the language, comply with this paragraph shall be sanctioned under the Personal Opportunities with Employment Responsibilities Power Program. The sanction they've got available to them is to remove the cash grant. And it was quite clear from their testimony they intend to remove it and they intend to remove all of it. And they're just regarding, frankly, the issue about removing those words didn't come up, but I think they're regarding those as superfluous words because that's the sanction they have, is to take away the program. And I suppose you always have to worry about some attorney trying to convince some judge that the law doesn't say what it says. And I would think that would be an awful stretch. We're just removing superfluous wordage.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Mr. President, let's go over the math and the assumption that currently that a person with food stamps with $175 won't take a $200 stipend under the power program because they fear they're going to lose $175. I think that's a reasonable action for that person in those regards. But as the bill is, and attempts to be modified, is that the question would be, are you going to lose $175, which isn't $175 because the children's amount that goes to the household is still there. So it's probably more like $125. But even if it is $175, then you got to say, well, do I want $600 with the possibility of losing $175? And let's say, what do you have to do? You have to have a self-sufficiency plan, including timely completion of an approved educational program complying with 42109A, or you got to be working. So, folks, there it is. There is the hammer. The hammer is that there's $800 out there that you're going to lose if you don't do that, if you don't get an education, or if you don't move forward. Now, I don't believe to include disqualification is superfluous. That's a directive. That's what it's telling the department that they have to do. You take that out, they can do anything. They can say, well, we'll take the $600 out, or maybe we'll slap them on the hand and we'll take $50 away. It doesn't make any difference. The department can do anything they want to. And, folks, that's this department. What's the department going to do 8 years from now, 4 years from now, 6 years from now? Mr. President, it's clear to me that the reason that this program was successful and you went to 5,370, there's language just like this that's in the bill now, and if it's not broke, don't try to fix it.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Provision was called for. Oh, adopted. Oh, I'll go with that. Yeah. Hey, Ogden, what are you doing? Wake up.
Jay. I don't know what's wrong with him. Get him down. Get that hot shot in there when he's supposed to jump up.
Well, on and against the bill. This bill sucks.
On the bill as a whole, in the debate, the other change in the bill, yes, it is partly an inflation change, but what's changing is the amount they can earn before they go off the program for excessive earnings. That's increased from $200 to $600. The purpose there is we're trying to encourage people to go to work and letting them, while they're still on the program, take part-time jobs that earn up to $600, which is actually the amount of the average power grant they get because of the family sizes involved. That helps with the business of encouraging them to go to work, and that's why that's there.
Mr. Chairman, just for some clarification on the stricken language on page 2, starts on line 10 and runs through line 12. The way I read this now, under the existing legislation, that if you were a married couple, you only qualified for the program once. And the way that I read this now, that they would be eligible for up to $1,200 a month by striking that language out of there. So if we could just get some clarification whether that married couple provision stays in or stays out or how it will work under the new program.
Mr. President, first, it's very rare that you get a married couple. Theoretically, you can, and occasionally they do, but that's quite rare. Second, they're administering the program on a per recipient, meaning per adult, basis. And so, theoretically, a married couple, each of them could have a part-time job, $600. You count for it separately. But theoretically, if they both had that, you could go up to $1,200. I think it's a good idea because it gets them more back into the workforce, makes the transition out of the welfare program easier, and that's always desirable in a welfare program.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. And if I could just further clarify what the good chairman of Labor Health Committee said, is the example the department gave us is if you have a married couple that applies for power, they can get up to, they can still get the $400 disregard. So then they have that earned income disregard of up to $600, which is what we're asking. What they want is disregard a flat amount of $600 per month for any one recipient. So that's the verbiage that was given to us by the department. Thank you.
Thank you. We're on Senate File 118. The clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson? Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern? Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote? Kraft? Kraft, aye. Sorry.
Bad joke.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 aye, 10 no.
Senate File 118, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 118 has passed the Senate. Senate File 120, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 120, Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, sponsored by Senator Ross, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 120, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 42 after line 19.
Senator Ross, it's a good thing we don't have two more readings. You'd have two more amendments.
Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 120. You're absolutely correct. Every time I turn around, I'm getting messages from the feds on language that needs to be corrected. These are easy amendments here. They add in on page 42, line 19, or employers. The reason is you could have multiple employers. Some people have several jobs. That's all that does. And then on page 53, line 4, it just deletes the word country, and so it becomes a foreign support order. The linguistics are, they're hung up on a lot of this stuff, so get them off my back and pass this amendment.
The motion is to get them off their back on third reading number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
We're back on the bill, Senate File 120. Is there any discussion? Senator Perkins.
For the sponsor, does he need another day? Did he lay this back another day just in case something else comes in?
No.
Back on the bill, any discussion? Senate File 120. The clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 aye.
Senate File 120, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected the Senate, Senate File 120 has passed the Senate. Senate File 129, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 129, Medicaid Share Plan, sponsored by Senator Von Fladern. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number 1.
Senate File 129, third reading amendment number 1. Delete the Bebout Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 129 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, this goes in and modifies the work requirement. It actually adds in the conditions that we've had that was so successful in welfare reform as far as including being a full-time student. And then talking to the sponsor, we also added full-time career technical and apprenticeship training programs. I think it's important to leave this provision in so that we do have the work requirement, but to modify it to where we understand, I think, in this body, the importance of education.
Discussion on the amendment, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I want to compliment my colleague from Goshen County. This is what I was intended to do, and this language really covered, I think, all aspects of it. Clearly, I think we should have a work requirement. And it shall include it, and if it's not in there, then the state shall not move forward. I like that provision. But we also give latitude to the department. It's up to 32 hours, and for the conditions as so pointed out. So I would ask the Senate to support this third reading amendment.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, and on the basis that I think this, some wording like this may someday get through CMS. Can't say it's the absolute cleanest I'd like to see, but it's good. And I also do, Senator from Goshen County, you did a good job. Thank you.
Question. The question having been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. If the reading clerk will please read third reading amendment number two.
Senate File 129, Third Reading Amendment Number 2, delete the Pappas Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move the third reading Amendment Number 2 of Senate File 129. Basically, what we have because of previous amendments are two reserve accounts in the bill as we have now. So basically, we need to strike all the language that I had in that very first amendment, which deletes the health reserve account, because we now have the Medicaid expansion account. So would urge your favorable consideration of this amendment.
On the amendment, third reading amendment number two, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. Will the reading clerk please read in third reading amendment number three?
Senate File 129, third reading amendment number three, page one, line five.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number three to Senate File 129. And fellow senators, if you look in your box, and maybe it's in the amendment folder, I'm not sure where they put it, there was an informal Senate File 129, this is a way to take the convoluted discussions we had over the last few days and tell you what all the amendments did. This would include the tall senator from Natrona County's removal of that temporary aspect of the Medicaid program. This would include the good senator from Goshen County and from Fremont County putting in their work requirement. That's included in this bill. And then what it does, it takes in the third reading amendment as presented to you, and it goes to, it doesn't even start, the rest of it's all original language. The red line you see on 8-9 is what you've adopted on the second reading amendment that I presented a couple days ago. That goes through page 11. The first thing this amendment does is goes to page 12, and this is on the sample bill. It goes to page 12, and it on top of that page, line 1, under C, it removes the auditor out of the stream of people that get to approve the funding. And it says, and then it says the governor may instead of a shall, which is on line 2. And it says the identified funds, we forgot the little 2 in there, so you see it's handwritten, says all of the identified funds to the Medicaid Expansion Reserve account. The second amendment goes down to the bottom of that page, on page 12, under 424408. And the new language is on the next page, page 13, where it says the department shall report annually. There was a lot of discussion on the floor about all the reporting requirements. It's all in one paragraph. It just says that they'll do a financial impact analysis of the plan for the remaining term. And on the bottom of that page, starting on line 10, page 13, termination or modification of Medicaid expansion in a manner which maintains fiscal neutrality to the general fund. And then by our actions a couple days ago, we deleted, and what we did defeat, we deleted the sunset. So what should be actually 424-408 but it is actually 409 in the sample bill. We put the sunset back in. And then we go on to the next page on 14. And by our actions the other day, we deleted this, which is just describing the standard budget and what a standard budget is. There is a little bit of new language. It's at the bottom of page 14. It starts on line 23. The Medicaid expansion savings account shall be a separate unit. This is still talking about the Medicaid expansion account. It was reviewed by those that know finances better than I, and they came up with a little bit of language, but basically what it says is the money that's moved in that Medicaid expansion account will come out of the other budget that it came from, the savings that were obtained, put into the expansion account, and then that appropriation that we do as standard budget for the health department would match that appropriation in that reserve account, but not would not go back to the other account that it was originally appropriated for. So there's a little slightly different wording there. And then on the page 15, line 20, that's where we strike the appropriation amendment, and we insert that the $1.5 million for January through June of next year will come from the Medicaid expansion reserve account and not from any general funds. Once again, keeping its neutrality. And, Mr. President, that is the bill. This is what the bill would look like with all the amendments we've adopted and what this amendment does. So I tried to condense it. It is not the official bill. But I will say, Senators, keeping under my 5 minutes here, let's keep our eye on the ball. What we're doing is taking $120 million a year into this state. We're creating the equivalent of 800 jobs. And what's more importantly, we're taking care of the health. We're attempting to take care of the health of 17,000-plus people who now fall through the cracks. We're trying to improve their condition. And so with that...
Senator Biba.
Point of order. I think we're still on the amendment.
On the amendment. Discussion is on third reading amendment number 3. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Excuse me, I missed something.
There's an appropriation.
Oh, I see. There's a fiscal comment, so it requires a voice vote or a roll call vote. I apologize for not seeing that. So third reading number 3 has an appropriation. So roll call on the amendment.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich? Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Roth?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott? Von Fladen?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
Third reading amendment number 3 has passed the Senate. It's adopted. That's all the amendments. We're now back on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Senator Von Fladen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I do apologize to the body, and the majority floor leader was quite correct that I was discussing the bill, so my apologies. But I would ask you to consider what's best for your state and what's in the best interest of your constituents when you vote. So thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President. speaking on and against the bill as it stands now, and I have a list of my reasons. First, there are no meaningful, as near as I can tell, cost controls in this bill. It's like the standard Medicaid program and has the problems of it. There are some co-payments, but except for the very wealthiest end, I suppose wealthy is a misnomer, the end with the highest earnings in this, those co-payments are so small that the providers generally won't bother to collect them. They aren't going to provide much motivation. And that leads to the second reason there with that lack of incentive to keep the utilization down. Medicaid program has a history of inducing excessive utilization, and that is harmful to the participants because most health care services, Mr. President, carry some risk with them. Anytime you do an invasive procedure, anytime you do anything with ionizing radiation, anything like that, pills, they all carry some small risk. If you get them when you don't need them, you'll do more harm than good. So that's a problem. Third, it really doesn't solve the hospital's problems. We've heard quite a bit from them. I went through the calculations. They're going to get, calculations came out 7%. I think it might be a little higher than that. Practice, if they go out and get more people in, might get as high as 10% of their uncompensated care is going to reduce. That isn't going to solve the problems. And related to that, Mr. President, yes, it's $120 million coming into the state, going to be spread around the various providers. But what's that doing? It's not taking it from any other state. The mechanics of this, the way the program works, it simply increases the federal deficit. The amount that we're borrowing or the amount of money that we're printing when the Federal Reserve buys the debt. That's all going to come back to haunt us, and I know it's only a small part of the total problem at the federal level, but it's the one piece we can control. And then another reason, I don't like where the health department's going to get the money to finance the administrative costs. It's going to take them out of the mental health services in particular. It's going to take them out of the colorectal program, a number of other programs that provide valuable services to the citizens of this state. Those are going to be decreased to increase the amount of bureaucracy. And then, Mr. President, what I think is maybe the biggest reason of all, you know, we know from past experience, the federal government is going to back off its promise to pay 90%. And we know that because when you look at their finances, they're getting in bad trouble, and they're going to have to, because across the whole United States, this is costing billions. And they're going to have to do some things, and we're going to go back to the standard Medicaid match or something close to it. When that happens, Mr. President, we're going to come, probably the best estimate is $60 million short. General fund. I don't believe the trigger will work. We'll be under, when did we last give up a major benefit program? We'll be under tremendous pressure from the providers, from the beneficiaries, and we'll have to come up with $60 million. General fund. You look at our budget, you look at where the money is, you look at our prospects. Yeah, maybe for a year you could take it out of reserves, or 2 years. But ultimately, I only see two places you're really going to get that kind of money. And that's higher education, K-12, the whole education system, or aid to cities and counties, and my guess, Mr. President, is both would get hit. And so when it comes to priorities, those things are much more important to the state of Wyoming than this program. So for all those reasons, Mr. President, I would urge us to defeat this bill.
On the bill, any further discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's hard to look in the crystal ball and really see what's going to happen in a few years. It's a challenge, and we can look at this one way, we can look at this another way, but I'm not going to be able to predict the future. I'm confident of that. Whatever I suggest to you probably isn't the way things are going to go. So, Mr. President, what I would urge the body to do is look at where we're at right now and where we were for the last few years and recognize that we can identify those things accurately. We know, Mr. President, that for the past 3 years, we've had the lives of 17,600 folks here in Wyoming in our hands to some degree with regard to their access to affordable health care. And we've been very concerned about those people and those individuals. And we've worked hard, Mr. President, over those years to come up with the best approach for Wyoming that we could put together. And we've worked very hard in this body, in this session, to achieve where we're at right now with Senate File 129, with the amendments we put in place. There's been a lot of negotiation and compromise, and I appreciate all of that effort that went to it. I urge the body to support this because it's our obligation as leaders in this state, as the representatives of the people, to try and find a solution to this problem that we have. It's not our obligation to figure out what's going to happen 5 years from now. It's our obligation to find a good solution for right now. This is one that's cost-effective right now. It's one that brings money to the state, around $120 million a year, creates around 800 jobs. But most importantly, Mr. President, it provides health care to those folks that are currently uncovered, around 13,000 of our state, that have no other access to affordable health care. This is a solution to that problem. It is not a perfect solution. It isn't going to be a perfect solution because there are so many flaws with the system that surround and support this solution that we have no control over, no ability to influence or affect. But this is something we can control, Mr. President, this small piece in that program, and we can have an effect on the lives of some of our more vulnerable people in the state that look to us for that support. And I hope this body will support them. And in closing, Mr. President, I would like to say to the body, good work on this. Really, good work. I appreciate the chairman. I appreciate the majority floor leader. I appreciate the president and the vice president and their leadership. I appreciate the members of the chamber that worked very hard on this process to do everything we could to get it to this point. Many, many hours went into this, many meetings in the hallway, many discussions. This is how legislation should be done, regardless of the vote. This was an excellent process, and I appreciate everybody's involvement, everybody's interest, and the fact that everybody is paying diligent attention to this issue right now to try and do what's in the best interest of the state. And I hope that is an aye vote on 129, Mr. President.
Mr. Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, I rise in opposition to this bill to expand Medicaid. I understand why this plan could seem appealing. We are all concerned about the most vulnerable among us. It's our nature in Wyoming to reach out and lend a helping hand. It's Wyoming tradition. It's what holds us together and makes us different. None of us would want to change that. I know my colleagues who support this plan are motivated by the desire to help. I don't question that desire, and those who support this bill are my friends, even if we disagree. That said, I feel obliged to raise a warning. In looking at the experiences of other states that have gone before us, a few facts become clear. One, the projected number of eventual enrollees is always low. Two, the projected eventual costs are also always low. Three, the number of uninsured tends to remain almost constant. Experience shows many enrollees come from already insured as employers opt for a cheaper alternative. Four, a flood of new enrollees increases stress on an already stressed provider system. Five, many of our truly medically frail remain neglected as others move ahead of them in the line for eligibility. In short, Medicaid accomplishes less of what we want and more of what we don't want. I think most of us could agree that Medicaid is a broken system. So I hope we can agree that expanding and depending even more on a massive broken system would be unwise. This legislature has been criticized in the past for our cautious approach to expanding government programs. We have not followed every trend for the latest, greatest new state program out there. We have worked on a pay-as-we-go basis. Because this body has acted wisely and prudently in the past, today we have options that other states may not. I would suggest this is no time to go along with the crowd and abandon our Wyoming way of doing things. If anything, in this era of fiscal cliffs, sequesters, and trillion-dollar deficits, we should become even more committed to our values. We have options. Full Medicaid expansion is not the only game in town. We can find ways of caring for our own. The good senator from Natrona County led a careful evaluation of what's been called the Indiana Plan. It was not all we had hoped. Proposals have been made to deal with tort reform. Another solution before this body seeks to reach a helping hand to the truly deserving Wyomingites who have been missed by the safety net of Medicaid with additional dollars for our hospitals without full expansion. The stakes are high. If we calculate incorrectly here, what do we put in peril? 3 weeks ago, we were warned by our congressional representative to expect a severe drop in federal highway dollars very soon. What will be our solution? When Medicaid does the inevitable and begins to grow beyond our means, what will we cut? Education? Funding for local governments, our towns and counties? Or are we willing to raise taxes? If we reject this current plan and seek our own way, I am convinced our people will be better off in the long run. We will do well to avoid unnecessary entanglement in an already broken system. We can do this, and we can do it without increased dependence on Washington, which we know only leads to disappointment and broken promises. In conclusion, the Medicaid expansion may appear tempting, but we have years of evidence from multiple other states that proves this expansion is actually burdensome and ineffective. Doing nothing is not an option, but doing the wrong thing is worse. We have shown ourselves to be wiser than this time and time again. I call on you now to join me and stay strong in choosing the better way, the Wyoming way.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the bill. I believe that this makes good sense for the state of Wyoming and for the people of Wyoming. It makes economic sense, for sure, bringing those federal dollars here. I believe that the federal dollars, although it might not make sense to the nation where they're coming from, they do make sense to Wyoming. We do know that our hospitals need support, and we can debate how much they're going to get out of it or not going to get out of it. But I know they're going to get support out of it, and certainly our medical community needs the help, especially in our smaller communities where our hospitals are trying to survive. I also believe this will create a healthier community. If the program only lasts 2 or 3 or 4 years, those people are going to be healthier, and which will hopefully bring them off of those roles and needing the health care that Medicaid provides them. But for the most important reason I think that we need it, it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for the low-income folks in our community. A lot of them have fallen on hard times, not of their own accord. When they lose their job, they have a medical problem and can't work, and they dip into this low-income bracket. I got a call from a person with spinal cord injury just 2 days ago, and the wife had surgery, and the husband all of a sudden broke his arm, and neither of them are working now, and they can't afford their health insurance. So there's people that all of a sudden dive into these lower income brackets. They're not people that are wanting to be there, but they happen to be there. And there are working poor. So I think it's the right thing to do, and I would urge your passage of this bill.
Senator Bebout, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And sensing that the body is getting very close to voting on this very important bill, and I, too, want to thank the way this body has handled this entire debate. One of the things that your floor leader really tries to do is ensure that every issue, especially one that's important, gets full opportunity to have all the options looked at, voted on, debated, and I think we've done that. And to the sponsors of the bill, my hat's off to you. You've worked hard, you've worked diligently, and you have a passion, a real passion for this issue, and I share that passion. I understand what you're saying. Mr. President, the only thing I would tell you is that that same passion was here 2 years ago, and we chose to not do and jump in at that time. We were better off by making that decision. The same thing happened a year ago. We listened to the debate. We chose not to jump in. I would submit to you, members of the Senate, that now is not the time. There's a lot of reasons that I've heard, and I can't answer all the questions as to why this will work. And I listened to the debate, and I understand the debate. I just think now is not the time. I think being cautious and looking at the Wyoming way is the way we do things. So I would ask for you to vote no on this bill.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and against the bill. I think first you have to ask yourself one fundamental question. Does this mythical thing called federal dollars actually exist? In fact, there is no such thing. There's only taxes and debt. Make no doubt about it. We're just saddling more debt for your children and your grandchildren. We're going to hear on the national news in the next month about the debt ceiling, that we're going to go borrow more money, except for we are at the point where our debt is a toxic asset on the global economy. Nobody will buy our debt anymore. Our Federal Reserve has resulted to printing money to buy our own debt. I don't know where each individual in this body is going to have to step up and decide is where does your responsibility, your constituents, stop? Do they stop at the footsteps of this Capitol building? With any good conscience, we are increasing the federal debt if we go through this process and we adopt this. That's the debt of your children and your grandchildren. Mr. Chairman, with no good conscience, I think my responsibility extends beyond the steps of this Capitol building and to the United States. The state of the state's good. The state of the union is not. Mr. Chairman, this just puts us one step closer to economic collapse in this country. I'd ask for you to vote no.
Question. The question having been called, we're on Senate File 129, final vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
Aye.
Coe, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
Senate File 129, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected the Senate, Senate File 129 has failed to pass the Senate. Do we have any messages? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you. Mr. President, is the intention of your floor leader to break for lunch and come back and try to get through these bills on general file and get everybody out of here today? So with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand recessed until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m. Oh, excuse me. In the famous words of Teens Wilford, we've never been this hungry. Announcements. Senator Ross.
Mr. President, your Appropriations Committee will meet in a few minutes to discuss the last two referrals, Senate File 96, Special Investigator, and Senate File 128, Election Runoffs.
And Senator Ross, if you'll please see me before you have that meeting. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Judiciary Committee number one will meet Monday, 8 a.m. at Room S1 to continue working House Bill 17, Engrossed Sexual Assault Protection Orders, and also work on House Bill 18, Drone Protection. That one's engrossed. And House Bill 49, Confidentiality of Participants Involved in Execution.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number nine, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in about 20 minutes in S18 to discuss Senate File 135, Misclassification of Employees Penalties, House Bill 55, and Gross Solid Waste Program Amendments.
Are there any further announcements? There being none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.